Now to the tricky question of who owns nature. Just where the line is drawn when it comes to patenting a plant is again in dispute because Nestlé wants to patent an extract from the fennel flower. It's been used for centuries in traditional medicine in many Eastern cultures. Dr. Matthew Rimmer is Associate Professor of Law at the Australian National University and Associate Director of the Australian Centre for Intellectual Property in Agriculture. Matthew, thank you for joining Bush Telegraph.
G'day, how are you going?
Good, good. What exactly is Nestlé seeking to do?
Well, Nestlé is trying to put forward a patent application in relation to a particular extract from the seed of the fennel flower and how it interacts with receptors in the body. So Nestlé is really interested in how to develop an invention to reduce allergic reactions to food.
Okay. So does that mean the company wants ownership of the seed or a product that can come from the seed itself, a natural product?
A product that comes from the seed. I think they're kind of really interested in the interactions between the compound and food allergies. But it's important to think about what a patent is. I mean, a patent historically was very much focused upon providing protection in relation to mechanical inventions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in Australia, colonial Victoria, the Furfies from Shepparton had patents on things like threshing machines and water carts. And the patent regime since then has really evolved in modern times to deal with a wide range of different technologies, including biotechnology and agriculture and information technology. So the patent application by Nestlé is kind of part of that wider array of subject matter that can be protected under intellectual property.
But there's an argument here that the health benefits or the medicinal use of these extracts been known for a very long time. So what's unique about Nestlé, or what are they arguing is unique about their discovery?
Well, for a patent to be valid, it has to be novel, inventive and useful. And the controversy in this particular case is partly over whether or not this is a new invention or whether it's merely a discovery of nature. Nestlé are really arguing in this particular case that, you know, they're trying to protect the findings of their research, particularly in relation to food allergies. Mm-hmm. However, there's a kind of a huge petition against this particular patent application, kind of claiming that it's not novel, it's not inventive, and it's not useful. It's merely trying to patent something that is already well known.
Mm. This is the group Some of Us who are saying it's an attempt to create a monopoly and the ability to sue anyone using fennel flower without their permission. So are they right at all in that claim?
Well, at the moment, I think the petition is rather abstract. You know, in order to invalidate a patent, you have to put forward specific prior art to challenge the validity of the patent. And they haven't really done that thus far. It has happened in the past. So there was a big controversy over a patent in relation to the neem tree in the European Union. And that was successfully challenged on the basis that there was kind of prior art. But really, I think the conflict highlights a kind of a larger debate going on about intellectual property and its role in relation to food. And really, there are diametrically opposed views. I mean, Nestlé and other companies would argue that, you know, intellectual property is really important to encourage food, innovation in food and food-related developments. But organisations like the Some of Us have been kind of complaining that, you know, intellectual property could hinder or restrict access to essential genetic resources and plants and food. So really I kind of see the controversy as part of a larger debate about intellectual property and food security and the role of corporations.
Isn't it more common to see that debate around intellectual property and food? It's normally in the context of a GM technology debate rather than one like this?
Well, there's been a lot of debate about battles in relation to some of the big food companies. So Nestlé is not alone. There's Nutrisette has kind of had patents in relation to Plumpy Nut, which is used for nutrition. But there's also been some huge battles this year in relation to intellectual property and biotechnology. So Monsanto have been at the centre of a number of big battles. Mm. So they won a very important case this year in the Supreme Court of the United States against a farmer called Bowman. in relation to its patented soybeans. But in that case, the Supreme Court of the United States recognised in relation to biotechnology, or agricultural biotechnology, inventions are becoming ever more prevalent, complex and diverse. And in another decision, the Supreme Court of the United States in the Myriad case tried to draw a stronger distinction between what was a product of nature and what was a scientific invention. And Monsanto, I guess, have also been caught up in some big international debates. So there was a very interesting battle this year in India in which the Indian IP Appellate Board rejected a patent by Monsanto in relation to a climate-ready crop in relation to methods for enhancing stress tolerance in plants and methods.
Okay, but it seems to me this debate's more about intellectual property and traditional knowledge. Is that right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think the kind of debates happening in relation to intellectual property and food are very kind of wide-ranging at the moment. They deal with both very traditional forms of agriculture as well as a range of new forms of agriculture, particularly in relation to biotechnology and climate-ready crops. So, you know, patent law is meant to be kind of a general regime to apply to a wide range of different technologies, but they're kind of increasing tensions over who should have access to key critical inventions. Mm. And really these days it's kind of the subject of great trade debate. So at the moment there's a big negotiation in the Trans-Pacific Partnership covering a dozen nations in the Pacific Rim, including Australia. There's a lot of debate there about questions about access to agricultural markets. But there's also a lot of debate in those negotiations about intellectual property and agriculture. You know, to what extent should patents be used to protect agriculture? The use of data protection in relation to agricultural chemicals, lots of debate over trademarks and geographical indications in relation to wine. So in the big kind of trade battles at the moment, there are very strong debates going on about intellectual property and agriculture and mm-hmm. whether there should be higher levels of protection in relation to intellectual property in relation to a wide array of different forms of agriculture.
I guess you hear these arguments that if a company has invested in a climate-ready crop or whatever it may be, then it has the right to gain from that investment. Then you hear the counter-argument that wealthy countries and wealthy companies are profiting at the expense of often developing countries.
Well, I mean, I think companies these days, particularly big transnational companies like Nestle and Monsanto, are very sophisticated in the way in which they use intellectual property. So, you know, they rely upon trademarks to protect their brands and logos. They rely upon patents, a portfolio of patents to protect a wide range of their R&D. And they heavily rely upon trade secrets to protect confidential information. So they're kind of interesting in terms of how those big agricultural companies manage their intellectual property across a range of different jurisdictions.
What do you think will happen in this case? Do you think Nestle will succeed?
Look, I think Nestle's patent application is vulnerable if you can kind of find prior art. And I think there's a kind of a question about whether or not what they've done is novel and inventive. Nestle recently had another loss in the European Patent Office over a patent in relation to coffee capsules. And I just think this particular patent application could be open to a challenge in terms of its validity. But the question will be, you know, was it novel, inventive or useful at the time that it was filed? And it seems like there's a kind of a growing crowdsourced effort to try to find prior art to challenge this particular patent application.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we can speak again when we know the outcome. Matthew, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Matthew Rimmer, who's Associate Professor of Law at the Australian National University.